Welcome back to Gesundheit with Jacobus, Health Talk Radio. Now, your host, Jacobus Hollewein.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to that last hour. It's with really, really much appreciation that I have enjoyed all the phone calls coming in. It was very nice to have my son call in with the two of the grandchildren. They took up some airtime. I have to let them listen to themselves from the recording I'm making from the show, and hopefully they they enjoy that. Anyway, it is wonderful to be with you. Today is the 19th, I celebrate the 19th anniversary of the show. It has actually made this the longest show running on this radio station. Maybe Rush Limbaugh, but let's say local show. There is no other show, I think, in this building. There are concepts of shows that have been around on the Moose and the country station, but a talk radio show that has been going on for 19 years, I think that is that's a record. And I was talking to somebody on the 4th of July, and I said, I don't get paid for this. As a matter of fact, it costs me money. And he was totally surprised. He said, I always thought that you would get paid for something like that, doing that every week for all these years. I said, no, there's no contracts. There was no signing bonus. this is just volunteer work. But I've learned so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to sit here. And what I have learned over all the years talking to experts who are just passionate to talk about it, I've been lucky to even talk to great people in California who are actually an hour earlier, for them to be already on the radio with me at 7 o'clock in the morning, their time, which is 8 o'clock, are here, and then communicate with me for several hours. And some of them say, we're up early, it doesn't matter. So, but still, it is a three-hour gap in their, not gap, but it's a three-hour commitment in their Saturday. And so to have the people come on and join and then tell me they would love to be back because they have enjoyed the conversation, they have enjoyed the freedom to be able to say what they want to say and been given the time. There are people out there who have literally told me that anytime they go on national shows, and some of them, many of them are syndicated, they say we only get 10, 15 minutes to really talk about what we do, and there is decades of research going into that. And then you try to answer that in 15 minutes, and 15 minutes, part of that is taken up by the host to advertise for something. So they get frustrated, and when they come on a show like this, and I'm very grateful for the radio station itself that allows me to do this and to do it differently than the shows that happen during the week. Two more topics I wanted to talk about was intuitive medicine and also the importance of movement. Now, intuitive medicine, if anybody wants to join and say what they feel about intuitive medicine or if they have experienced it, I think all of us have intuition. It is just, are you willing to listen to the intuition? The intuition is sometimes a split second. It's a split second whereby you literally get a message about something you need to see, be aware of, need to understand. If you don't act on that, then your mind is taken over. And your mind starts to rationalize the intuition and may say, not important, move on. When I was young, they would always say, when you have multiple choices or you have to answer a question, go with your first instinct. That is, in a way, your intuition. And lo and behold, I wasn't always listening, so my answers weren't always great. I could talk myself out of anything, but my multiple choices was not a, I start to overthink it. I start to overthink multiple choice, because to me there was clearly an answer. That's it. And then I start reading the other ones and I go, yeah, maybe. And then I picked the other one and then they said, no, that was wrong. I said, but what it says is what in the text. I said, yeah, I know, but this is the better answer. Okay, good. So I had something, but I didn't have the right answer. So whatever it was, who knows? In any case, intuition is very important. I talked to somebody yesterday who really had an intuition that she had cancer and didn't know why that thought came up, but had it checked and found out that she had a tumor developing. That's powerful stuff if people can do that, if people have that gift. Now, there are some who have had that gift for a long, long time. And you, when you have that gift and you start working with it and start listening, and then from listening, you, there are, some of them are at a very young age, 3, 4, 5 years old, they have these intuitive feelings and everything is very natural to them, but they don't always know how to put it into words. So as you get older, you start learning, like I mentioned earlier, you start learning the words, you start reading what it is, you start listening, and you start visualizing it, and you know what you see, but you don't know what it's called. So people with intuitive healing capabilities, they have to use anatomy in order to find out what is that what they see. So that when they talk to the client or a patient, they can actually describe it and give it a name. And don't just say, well, in your eye, in your heart, in your kidney, I see something. No, they can actually call it what it is. Now, once you have the answer, you can do something with that. You can actually say, okay, now I have a diagnosis. You can verify the diagnosis by maybe having an MRI or an X-ray done, or have a doctor do a blood test and find out if the prognosis or the diagnosis, I would say, is correct. Then you have a choice to make. What kind of therapy are you going to use in order to overcome the ailment? Is this something that you're willing to tackle by changing your diet and lifestyle? Maybe take some dietary supplements, give up certain habits? Or are you somebody who says, I have such a hard time disciplining myself any other way. My work, my life, my marriage, my relationships, whatever, does not allow me to make any changes, I will have to go the conventional therapies. I will take the injections. I will do the surgery. I will take the medications in hope that something is going to change. Now, for those of you who are listening to this program, you realize that one can really not work without the other. In order to have long-term success, you're going to have to make changes in your diet and lifestyle. You have to make changes in the way you look at the world. You can learn how to visualize your problem on a chart. You can go to the internet, look at photos of that specific issue, look at a diagram, a drawing of a specific ailment or organ in your body. You can cut that out, make a photograph of it, have it laminated, have it enlarged, but something that you on a regular basis look at that picture and visualize perfection. You have to visualize perfection because as we just talked about the eyes need to be able to see it and send it to the brain. And the brain is your coach and the coach is telling your body, this is what we're going to work on. This is the next topic. This is the task at hand. We have to get it perfect. We have to get it right. And if you look at stories about people who have used this, it is astounding how much visualization through meditation or simply by visualizing perfection, how much healing has happened or how much accelerated healing has happened in conjunction with conventional therapies. Our body, our mind, our spirit, our emotions are astounding. They are phenomenal how they can work together as a team to actually create healing into the innermost detailed parts of our cells, into the mitochondria, into the DNA. So never underestimate the power of intuition. Listen to your body and mind. Listen to your body and the spirit. Let the spirit speak. That's what it's for. Spirit brings inspiration. The spirit is coming inside of us to give us that, the spiritual knowledge of something that may go on within us. Some of you are too busy. Some of you think that's a bunch of hogwash, Jacobus. I'm too old for this. I'm 70 years old. I ain't going to change nothing anymore in my life. Right? No. You can if you want to. It's your choice. It doesn't cost anything. If that's maybe worth it. That's actually an oxymoron. It doesn't cost anything if that's worth anything. Anyway, this is something you got to keep in mind when it comes to healing. Healing can be extremely powerful. And there are gifted people amongst us who can do intuitive healing for you and help you with it. And they can see, they can explain, they can tell you what are some of the therapies that may work best for you. So they can actually say, oxygen therapy is good for you. More minerals is what your body needs. You need to detox. You have parasites. You have a tumor that is benign, so don't worry about it. It's not cancerous. They can look at all that and give you hints of, if you say, well, what if I take B12 for this? They can actually imagine what the B12 would do for you. And they may say, yes, that works, but you probably need to do about 8,000 micrograms. Or they may say, you need this much B vitamin or this many minerals, or you're lacking, your body is craving selenium or something like that. It's a fascinating gift that people have, and it is up to you to implement it or not. Another thing that you can implement is another topic that I had, the importance of movement. It takes discipline to start exercising. For some people, it's a daily thing. For me, it has become a daily thing not in the weekend. I can't on Saturday morning and Sunday. I don't want to. So 5 days a week, I exercise. And that means you have to get up and get going and do something with it. I'm lucky enough to go early in the morning. There are some people who like to do it at lunchtime, which I think is usually pretty stressful because you got to run out, do the exercise, run back to work. Unless you work for yourself from home, that's maybe possible. But there has to be a time for you to do it. Some people like to do it after work, which in my opinion is, again, not always easy, because what do you do afterwards? Do you eat? But anyway, exercising is important, any kind of exercising. And it doesn't have to be intense. It doesn't have to be something where you just go crazy. There are some of you, you're in your 60s, 70s, and 80s, maybe older than that, you are still moving, living on your own. You are moving well, but you're lacking the development of certain important muscles. Don't forget that the skeleton is just that. It is a skeleton, just a bunch of bones. If you grab a skeleton and hold it up and let it stand on its own, take your hands away, it'll collapse on the floor. The way that the skeleton has been kept erect is by the correct formation of muscles to hold it all together. When you use your muscles, it is important that you keep in mind that functioning shapes form. So the form of your body, the form that your body takes on, is based on the functioning you use for your muscles. I learned this long time ago from Kyle Klicker, who was a guest on the show. And I remember Kyle being a skier. He was a telemark skier and a mountain climber. And he would take people up in the mountains and feed them and take them out there. But he was also a telemark skier, which is, I don't know much about skiing, but it is a certain style, keep your feet together and beautiful skiing. Now, it takes a lot of upper legs, buttocks, lower back to hold that stance in that type of skiing. So I used to see him and he was would be running on a treadmill or something, and he had a big booty on him and big upper legs. And then I didn't see him for years. And I saw him and he was like skinny as a rail. I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Oh yeah, I feel great." I said, "My God, your body has changed." And he says, "Well, I don't do that anymore that intense. I do it for pleasure, not for work." He said, "But I started running. I'm running marathons or half marathons or 10Ks. So in order for his body to change shape, no, I shouldn't say it that way. His body changed shape because of the different work he was giving his body to do. So if that is the case, you start running, you use a complete different set of muscles. And in order to run, your body is burning so many calories, you start losing the weight and the certain muscles that were there to hold the frame up in certain positions. Now you're running, you're just moving those legs very quickly, so you don't want to have heavy muscles in that area. There is a difference between a sprinter who runs the 100 yards and a marathon runner. I mean, huge difference size-wise. You know, many sprinters are pretty tall. They're big, big people. Big shoulders, a lot of explosive energy coming out of the buttocks, out of the upper legs, the quads, the hamstrings, everything is very strong. And you have a marathon runner who the last thing they want is carry extra weight. So by running, they're burning so many calories, the muscles are very specific for that exercise. So brings us back to exercising. Exercising is important to help the body keep the shape and keep the strength to keep the skeleton going. I see a lot of times people who have lower back pain. Somebody who has exercising usually does not get lower back pain if they work on the muscles, the core muscles in the front, the buttock muscles in the back of in the rear, right? Working on the back muscles, the lower back muscles, there's exercises you can do for that. You just have to develop the whole plethora. But people may say, "Well, I don't want to do sit-ups because it hurts." Well, sure, I understand. There are other exercises you can do to simply develop that. So even when you're older, you can sit on a chair and you can lift your arms sideways. You can lift them forward up there. You can bend them at 90 degrees. You have your upper arm go horizontal, and at the elbow it goes 90 degrees up, and just bring those arms up and bring them up. You cannot tell me that you're not going to feel that. If you do 200 of those, I guarantee you, you're going to feel a little bit tired, and you may actually have a muscle ache the next day. So you think, "Well, but I'm not using any weights." Well, that may be coming later, but start without the weights. You can sit down and do it. You can kick your leg up. You sit down and kick your right leg forward, or both legs forward. Hold on to the chair, kick them forward on the right side, kick them forward on the left side, and do that 10, 15 times. That's a good start. You can sit on your knees and put your hands down like you're going to do a push-up and slowly bring your upper body down while you're sitting on your knees and do a push-up that way. At some point, you may be able to put your feet on the ground, your toes, and on your hands and do a push-up that way. It is all gradually. Start with doing something. Start developing the muscles that hold up your skeleton, because the more independence you have, the better you are to deal with all this. Well, anyway, going to take a break. Going to be right back. Stay tuned, please.
Integrative medicine, the future of healthcare. Every Saturday morning, right here from 8 to 11 a.m.